Good morning. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 will serve as our text this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is a wonderful story in and of itself, but it is not the whole story of God's plan of salvation for mankind. Many people will have Jesus the figurine under the Christmas tree, but not have Him in their hearts this Christmas. Sadly, this is so. Now, it is a marvelous thing that Christ came, but if it is to be of special benefit to your soul, you must understand why Christ came. And to this end, you shall not remain in suspense much longer. We will cut to the chase. Our sermon proper this morning will have 2 points. We will learn why Christ came. First, Christ came because the law could not save. Secondly, Christ came because only God Himself could save. Christ came because the law could not save, is our first point this morning. We sang just now, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Such was the state of affairs on earth prior to the entrance of the Son of God onto the scene of humanity. Godly men and godly women pined away, looking forward in faith to the coming of God's promised Christ. To be sure, the Old Testament saints have received their hope for heavenly inheritance, for they have received it by faith, just as you and I received salvation through Christ by faith. Of them it is written, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Yet the weight of the law was heavy upon them, for they knew that the Old Testament law could not save, but only condemn. As David wrote in the Spirit, there is none who does good, no, not one. James, the half-brother of our Lord, also points out this, that whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions or sins, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator by definition is someone who goes between, does not mediate for one only, but God is one. This is why Jesus Christ Himself came and became our mediator. We'll be building upon that theme in our second point this morning. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. In other words, if the law could save, if we could be saved by keeping the Old Testament law, there would have been no reason for God to have to send His Son and for Him to die such a horrible death on the cross to pay sin's penalty if there was some other way. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. So in a sense, we could say that faith that is referenced in our subtext, Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, was personified in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, the law was our tutor or our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That is, through faith in Jesus Christ. So we see that Christ came because the law could not save. Some have tried to mix law with grace to arrive at a formula for salvation. If A be grace, and B be law, and C be salvation, some have tried to do an A plus B equals C. This was not how the Lord had designed it. In God's economy, A times A equals C. In other words, A in itself is the same as C. That is, salvation is by grace through faith, in faith alone, in Christ alone. So, mixing law with grace is man-made religion. It is at odds with God-made religion. What is God-made religion? Well, we need to look no further than the pages of Scripture. The Bible presents it thus: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Therefore works is excluded. That is, human works are excluded as a condition for saving faith in God. Second point this morning: Christ came because only God could save. We have it in our text. What the law could not do, God did. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. That is, He was born through the agency of God the Holy Spirit. This is an affirmation of the virgin birth. Born under the law. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born into the world that He created as a Jew under the law, and He came into the world in a time in which the Old Testament law was still in effect, and so it had to be. For it had to be that for one to be qualified as God's Savior and God's Christ, the Messiah, He had to perfectly fulfill the Old Testament law. This is why all of these things must need be so. And then Paul tells us why He came: to redeem those who were under the law. The Jews in a specific sense, but all Jews and all Gentiles in the most general sense. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Christ came to redeem us, to buy us back, to pay the required penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death. And all men we're hopelessly lost forever, apart from the divine intervention of God. And intervened he did. The Son of God, Jesus the Christ, who has always existed, came to pay the penalty of sin. Not for his own sins, for he didn't have any, but for your sins and for mine, friends. God's marvelous plan of the incarnation began at the cradle and it ended at the cross. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our second subtext this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, beginning in verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. Who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come near. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? If not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. So we've allowed the Lord through his prophet Isaiah to nail the second point down, that the Savior himself must be and is God himself. Surely, Jesus is the Savior. Does not his very name attest to this fact? What does the name Jesus mean? God saves. Or the salvation of God, depending upon what tense in which we'd like to use or apply it. So, it bears repeating that surely Jesus is the Savior. But, is he your Savior? Behold, the Prince of Peace asleep in his crib. And when Christmas is over, many of you, like my family, will take the little Jesus figurine and carefully pack it away, along with the Mary and the Joseph and the stable and all of the other doodads that go along with it. We'll pack it away in a box and we'll bring it out again next year. But I hope that as you leave here and as this Christmas season comes and goes, that you don't pack the Lord away into some place in your heart where he can't be easily found. Or worse yet, that you don't pack him away and place him in your heart at all. The cradle, the crib is very non-threatening, isn't it? People aren't afraid of a baby. But this Jesus, although he came into the world as a baby, is much more than that. He is God, he is Savior, and he is your Creator, to whom you are accountable. Consider why Christ came. Consider Christ came for all. And secondly, Christ came for you. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be mindful of what this season that we celebrate is all about. Help us to be mindful of the Christ, and let each here be challenged to take our relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord God and Savior, more seriously. If we don't have that relationship, Lord God, grant us the peace that comes from having it. Even this day, even this Christmas season, Lord God, if our heart's been awakened a little, awaken it much, we pray. And if we have looked upon the past year since last Christmas, and maybe have dismissed our service of you from time to time, let us be saying with holy zeal, Lord, we have served you little, but today, and from this day forth and forevermore, we will serve you much. God, may your word meet its target. Whether it be hope, encouragement, peace, conviction, correction, whatever it is, Lord. Thy will be done in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.